The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by U.S. Christian Chamber National Conference and Expo. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome to the program once again here on The Shepherd. I have with me in the studio Bill Snell from Missionary Ventures. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
Hey, it's so great to have you back on the show again. We did a show in May of 2020, but it was on the phone during that fabled blackout period where COVID had knocked all meetings practically in the head, and now we're able to do some face-to-face ones again, and we're being careful still. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this, I'm really ready for this whole thing to be over, aren't
Brother,
you?
Me too. Yeah. It's been a stretch, you know, with all of the obstacles that this has provided. You know, with God, that's opportunity.
Yeah.
So we've been doing our best to try to keep our attention on Him and say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but You do. Show us how to be most flexible and how to connect with You and you know, be Spirit-led is what mm-hmm. we've been trying to do.
And, you know, it's not only been a difficult time for our country because of COVID, but the division, the political strife, really at an all-time high. I can't think of a time where there's been more tensions, where the country has been more divided. And never, Bill, has there been a time where the gospel is more needed than mm-hmm. it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And it's not just here in the U.S., of course.
Right.
It's worldwide. I don't know if there's cooperation among governments, as it seems to be when all this going on as they are. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the good news is still the good news, always has been, mm-hmm. always will be. And so how do we convey that, you know, and even when we're not able to go personally? How can we continue to do that? And many of our missionaries, Mike, are still on the field. Some of them were on the field when COVID hit and weren't able to return back to the
yeah,
U.S.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Most missionaries do get to come back to the U.S. Those that are from the U.S. will go over and they'll furlough back home and kind of get renewed and refreshed, maybe tidy up some of the support that is needed for their particular outreach. And then they go back. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they've been over there now for a while.
Mm-hmm. And so they had to adapt. And they have, and they've connected with people. Even, you know, we've been able to use the traditional online, you know, ways of connecting with people when you can't be there in person. That's not nearly as much fun or as gratifying, really. But it's important and it's a good tool. And so we continue to use that. And so we've seen tremendous impact, you know, in a year in which you think you're just going to be shut down.
Well, give us, for our listeners who may not be familiar with Missionary Ventures, give us a little bit of the history of this organization.
So we're about 38 years old, and we were founded by a group of people that were traveling back and forth from the Tampa Bay area to Guatemala, trying to address the a massive earthquake that had hit the Guatemala City area. And so they were doing short-term mission trips back and forth, enabling and helping a missionary that they knew there personally. And they began to ask questions of themselves, if we did this full-time, what would it look like?
Now, was that Steve Beam at that point?
Was Steve Beam,
yeah.
And a few others, yes. And so the conversations gelled, and they began to ask themselves again, what would it look like? And so they began to write down on I call it a cocktail napkin. Is that okay to say?
Absolutely.
It was the cocktail napkin in the airplane. And so they began to write down what things would look like. And they decided that with missionaries, they come and go. Missionary teams come and go. But the indigenous national Christians stay no matter what, right?
Right.
And so if we could pour ourselves into those indigenous national Christians and really develop their leadership and their passion and their vision to reach their own people for Christ, perhaps we will have not only short-term impact, but long-term impact if we do that and do that well. So that's what we do. It's kind of an entrepreneurial approach, to be quite honest.
And, you know, it makes such sense. And we've seen organizations try to do the thing where an American goes over and really just kind of Americanize, if mm-hmm. you will, that area. And that just never works.
It doesn't, no. You know, there's some headway that can be made, but it always ends up being Americanized, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't do it that way. We go with a towel over our arm to serve. And our missionaries are trained to identify men and women that God already has his hand on. And so they come in alongside, they equip, they encourage, they bless. Sometimes we financially support, but you have to be careful about that. You know, money can get in the way real easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and if we can help them really figure out how to reach their own people and equip them and give them tools that they didn't have before, then there's an explosion, frankly, Mike. There's an explosion of evangelistic activity, discipleship activity, church planting, and all the things that we're so passionate about.
You know, one of the things that, to me, makes that so right and really in a way guarantees it is because this thing of going to the ends of the earth was not our idea. Mm-hmm. It was not Missionary Ventures' idea. It was God's idea. Jesus spoke those words in the first book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a calling. And so to me, that's what makes what you do so very, very exciting is because you're getting to live out one of those branches, really more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You're really living out, you're helping the churches and helping the pastors live out all four of those.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I love that Matthew 28 passage where it talks about Jesus saying, you know, all authority has been granted to me, go therefore and make disciples.
Right.
You know, the beautiful thing about that, when you look back on that just a few verses before, he had called the disciples to come to him at there, you know, where he would be lifted up, mm-hmm. and taken away. And so the word says the disciples were coming, and there were those that worshiped and those that doubted. Mm-hmm. These were his own disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so he passionately gave a plea, a charge, a command, if you will, for his followers to go. Now authority has been given to me. He says, now go. So he's granting his own authority to carry out the gospel, to demonstrate it as well as to preach it. And so that was even given to the doubting. So but that encourages me because it's just sometimes I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't have the capacity to figure out every detail, but even in my doubting, perhaps in my own self, somehow the Spirit of God energizes and equips and enlightens and quickens our ability to comprehend what he's about and to get some kind of a kingdom perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to function well and to demonstrate the gospel as well as to preach it well throughout the world.
I always like to think of this, that the first two letters of the word gospel is go.
Mm.
And, you know, when you look at it that way, we're given the gospel to go with. And I know a lot of people, Bill, and I would not try to make a grandiose position statement on this, but I know a lot of people feel that they don't have to ever go on a missions trip in order to be a good witness. And I would agree with that. But I'll tell you this. I believe that once you do go on a missions trip, it forever changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it forever changes how you look at sharing the gospel.
Yes. When you see those smiling faces of impoverished children, you see the adults loving and leaning into one another in cultures that don't know what we know in mm-hmm. terms of affluence and the ability to shop like we shop and buy like we buy typically. And you see the joy that they have in life nevertheless. And somehow there's something about that connects us human being to human being, right?
Yeah, you know, I've gone on every missions trip, and I've mentioned this before in this on this program, but I've gone on a missions trip thinking that I'm going to be able to help them. And I get over there, and I'm put to shame by the joy that I see in the faces of people who have zero, maybe next to zero, maybe less than zero. And they have this one thing that I think a lot of Americans think we have, but we don't in comparison. And that is the confidence and the joy that the Lord
mm-hmm.
is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any of the American trappings of success. They don't have the pleasures of cars or bikes, or many of them, they don't even have food at night when they go to bed. They go to bed hungry, but they have the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
And when they are with us on these missions trips, it's not like they are looking like they're destitute.
No.
They have the Lord.
That's right.
And he's enough.
That's right.
I feel like I come back more changed than I was able to affect change.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly right. Well, we all desire when we go on a missions trip, we usually prepared the individual teams through churches, civic groups, or, you know, families gathering together and wanting to go. We want to have impact. You know, there's an investment that we make in terms of time and money. We really want to have impact, and rightfully so. But isn't it amazing, Mike, as you have personally experienced, how we're the ones who are impacted? And that's the reason why I'm convinced that a healthy church, most healthy churches have some sort of experiential ways of connecting people to the mission field. Because when they go, they come back changed. They're transformed, and they become more healthy, more contributing to the life and health of the church and all aspects. And so I'm convinced that, you know, once this COVID fog begins to ease and dissipate, that the travel can be renewed, and that we can connect people again. And my expectation is in a health and safe manner, just as we were in the past. And there's just other regulations and things that are going to get in the way along the way. But nevertheless, we can still go. And we're called to go, just like you'd mentioned.
We are called to go. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Missionary Ventures, and I can tell you, I've known about your organization for, my goodness, 20-some-odd years, maybe more. I don't remember. It might be, actually, it was back in the 80s. So it's over 30 years now that this has, because I knew of what Steve Bean was doing back with Mike and Rocky Bean back in the day. And Mike and Rocky are friends. They were in that Guatemala region serving, and
Pinalito.
Yes.
I've been there too.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. So, you know, when I think back to the help that you're not only giving to the Guatemalan people in that or those early days, but now around the world. But to me, one of the biggest things that you guys are, it's a resource to churches who want to be involved with missions, but maybe don't know how to get started involved in missions.
Perhaps maybe the greatest advantage that we offer to churches, because they can go on their own. They can book their own flights. They can do all those kind of things. Maybe not as effectively expense-wise, perhaps, as we can provide, but everybody can find a way to go and are doing a pretty decent job at it. What we provide, however, are missionaries who are already on the field, and they've been doing mission work for years in many cases. And so when a team goes, they tie into something that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
So they can build with impact. They can build on what a missionary has been doing, and they can expect that it will be followed up with. And so you're not it's not just a hit and miss kind of situation. Plus, the missionaries, it's good to know that they know the safe places to go eat, you know, with good food and places to stay and things of that sort. And cultural adaptations they are already familiar with. You don't have to figure those out on the way. And so anyway, those are the kind of things that we provide, and have been just excited to see the impact that we've been able to enjoy with that.
Now you tell me if this analogy is not accurate, because I think it's pretty close. If I were wanting to take a trip to a country that I've never been in before, to visit, to have fun, to see the area, and I could either go there and just strike out on my own, or if I had a friend or a family member that actually had great connections there who would be lovers of hospitality and would just say, hey, make recommendations here, go here, you got to see this, let us accompany with you on this. It'd be crazy for me to not take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And it would be so much more effective, so much more, I think, efficient. And I would probably, like you said, be much safer in the process too.
Well, and because of there's so much change afloat right now, governments are changing their minds all the time about restrictions, COVID related, and anything. Economies are beat up like crazy because of the restrictions and so forth. So you have to pay attention to these kind of things. What does it look like to exit the country? What does it look like to come back? What does it mean to enter into another country? What kind of COVID restrictions are they going to have there? What kind
getting
of
getting out of the country? Yeah,
you know, and having missionaries on site that are somewhat familiar with that process. It doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect, but at least they know the right doctors, they know the right places for those tests to be performed, and you just don't want to get in a position where there's going to be some advantage taken over foreign travelers because they don't have to get back in country without, you know, jumping through some hoops and hurdles, and sometimes it can change right there on the spot.
Yeah. Now, worldwide, I know that America, we're seeing a decline right now in the COVID cases, and I'm not sure everyone in the media is excited about reporting it that way, but it is. It's declining. There's a decline. Are you seeing that same thing happen on the outposts in other countries?
Yes. For the most part, yes. Some tighten up and loosen up, tighten up and loosen up. It just, if there's a suggested outbreak again, then it tightens up again. We see some of those cases in Africa, Southern Africa, still some difficulties coming and going there. But overall, we're beginning to see the loosening. There's some acceptance of the fact this is going to be with us for a while. So how do we live, and how do companies perform, and how can they pay their taxes, and how can they make a living and pay for their food and stuff like that? You know, so governments are beginning to figure out that so much damage has been done. We're going to have to figure out how to loosen this thing up. Mm-hmm. And I think that I believe that is happening. And of course, the church, which is the primary, as a primary instrument, I believe that God is using. You know, the church has been coming alive, I think, Mike, awakening to an opportunity of ministry that we just haven't seen in a very long time.
It is so neat to see how God will bring revival sometimes out of the most oppressive times, out of some of the most difficult times, but that's when everything breaks open.
Yes, yeah, agreed. And so, you know, the stress and strain is shaking the church. Yeah, don't we remember the prophetic word, yet months more will I shake, the Lord says, so that which remains is that which cannot be shaken. So shaking isn't always a bad thing. It's uncomfortable almost all the time, but it's not always bad, is it?
No. So it brings about a good fruit. And yet, while you're in the midst of it, it's sometimes not so much. I always laugh when I think about Peter being released from the jail by the angel. And it wasn't until he was on the outside that he kind of woke up enough to realize, I've just been delivered. And so I think a lot of times we, in our own, maybe sometimes even self-made prisons, we're not realizing how much the Lord is helping us break out of our slumber and get out on freedom. And then we see, okay, God's doing something here. And I'm praying that we can all see that day come. And boy, we need it. I mean, the whole world needs it. This thing is not just an American problem. It's a worldwide problem.
Is. Right.
And the gospel is the worldwide answer.
Agreed. Very well said.
That's what we need. And I'm so grateful. Before we take a break, tell us about what you think the biggest impetus for missionary ventures, what direction country-wise are you working right now?
Well, we're in a little over 100 countries. And so there wouldn't be one country that stands out above the others. We have a number of our missionaries are in Latin America. We have a number of missionaries in Europe and in Asia. And in the Solomon Islands and the Marshall Islands, and so we see lots of things happening, and the church planting is staggeringly impressive to me. How quick and how amazing churches are being planted right now. People want to meet. And the large churches are not being allowed to meet in many cases around the world, but small churches in homes, people can meet.
Yeah.
And they can pray and they can minister and they can, and people can be led to Christ. And we're just seeing it. It's not necessarily always underground churches where they're hiding, you know, from government officials and from persecution, things of that sort, or shielding themselves might be a better term rather than hiding. But we're seeing churches just being planted like crazy. And there's a movement that the Holy Spirit is engineering. Mm-hmm. And we're just seeing a little piece of that on our own.
I'm excited to hear that. And it's really great to hear eyes or to see through your eyes, to say it that way, about what is going on, because we're living in a day right now where there's a lot of foot, like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of people who are fearful, and there is not going to be another cause that can be met the way the gospel can meet this need. And churches are the way to do it. And these small churches give way to bigger growth. And that's what's going to happen. My guest is Bill Snell. He's from Missionary Ventures. And we'll be back with Bill in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. You are in tune to the Shepherd. I so enjoy these kinds of programs where I get to talk to somebody that is actively involved in missions. And today my guest is Bill Snell. Bill is the leader of Missionary Ventures in the Orlando area, but they do work around the world. 100 countries, you said. 100 countries. Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, in the break, we were talking about something that you've just got to tell our listeners. You guys have recently acquired and made a purchase of three very extraordinary vehicles. But we're not talking about cars. We're not talking about trucks. We're not talking about motorcycles. We're talking about camels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell
camels.
Me about this.
Yeah. Well, this is it's been real excitement, and we anticipate it'll have significant impact in the desert communities where you can't get to by motorcycle or perhaps by helicopter or something. But we bought three caravans of camels. That's 12 camels altogether.
Oh, three caravans.
Three caravans, 12 camels.
Oh, my goodness.
And they'll be operating in, I won't go into the names of the actual countries. Some are very difficult areas, but they'll be traveling by desert to these Bedouin communities, these trained evangelists camel caravans.
Mm-hmm.
They will include the Jesus film, by the way. So it'll be the Jesus film. With crew, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Jesus film pack, which gives them the ability to actually show the Jesus film in the language of the Bedouin community, in the dialect, specific dialect, along with Open Door Bibles. These are all ministry partners of ours, by the way. Open Door specializes in areas where the church is heavily persecuted, and they specialize in Bibles translated all over the world, and all languages all over the world. So they'll be packaged together with all these with evangelists, with evangelistic tools to go into these desert communities to communicate Christ to them. We're expecting tremendous result, and
wow.
Love that kind of creative way of reaching people.
So when you buy a caravan, it's three camels.
Yes.
And do they travel?
Actually, four.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said that's right. There's three groups of four.
That's
so there's four camels in a caravan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do the camels do better when they travel like that?
I don't know. Never ridden one.
Oh, I thought maybe that might be a reason for it. So,
I think it's a matter of the number of people that that go with the amount of tools that they'll be taking, the Jesus film, the Bibles, and so forth. And they'll be taking all different kinds of supplies mm-hmm. with them. You know, that's kind of the way that you connect with these outlying communities that have very little resource of their
right.
own. Yeah.
Now, somebody would say, that somebody would be me in this case, why not buy an elephant and take an elephant along? Because then you'd have trunk space. Oh, okay. That was really bad. But that
really bad.
but yeah. I can. It's this picture of four camels mm-hmm. going over the desert, and you've got them loaded with, like you said, they're loaded down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they've got like baskets maybe hanging over both sides, and they've got projectors and other materials. And obviously they take food out when they go as well.
Yep. Exactly. Well, it's a part of a bigger program that we do. And our transportation program is in partnership with the Christian Motorcyclists Association. I think you and I have talked about that before. So the Christian Motorcyclists raises funds and then helps us with funds to provide a meaningful transportation program.
Right.
And so to date, we've been able to purchase well over 15,000 forms of transportation, most of those motorcycles. And we give those to well-vetted pastors, leaders, church planters around the world that don't have transportation of their own. And so when you provide them the means to do what they're already doing, it accelerates, if you will,
mm-hmm.
the impact that they're already committed to provide.
Yeah.
And so the church planting, the people being saved, the amount of leadership being developed around the world is exponentially mind-boggling. We're anticipating we've done our calculations. It looks like that by conservative numbers, I believe it's much greater than what I'm about to say, but we've had over 15 million people saved as a result of these, of just the transportation itself.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and so often these guys are so unselfish on the field that they'll see a greater need. And I've heard of people who are missionaries give away what they had to another missionary who they deem needs it more than they.
That's quite typical. We had a recent application, Mike, that came our way. It's in Nepal. He had been traveling with another couple, pastor and wife. A pastor and wife rode on a scooter, and he would ride a kind of a broken down scooter himself, and they would go over these mountain passes and to get to these outlying areas there in the Himalayan mountains to evangelize, to share Christ. And on this one particular occasion, this fellow who's applying for a motorcycle wasn't able to go on this one trip. Just the husband and wife went. And so on their way, a tiger ambushed them and killed the wife. Took her off the back of the scooter and killed her. And very tragic, horrible thing. But the applicant says, I still want to go in spite of the danger, still want to go. But if you believe that my application should be one that would be considered and granted, would you please pray about providing me a motorcycle that's a little faster than a scooter?
Yeah. That's wisdom.
So bless his heart, we did. Yeah. We did approve the application, and he will be getting a much stronger, faster motor transportation to get through those mountain passes, hopefully unharmed. But that gives you an idea, doesn't it, Mike, of what people are willing to do. The message is so important, and they're putting their life on the line to get into these outlying areas. Yeah.
A life-changing phrase. I think I mentioned this to you the last time we were together on the phone, but it was when I was struck, because I grew up not really enjoying missions conferences, missions nights like I do now, because I didn't understand that the whole plan of what God does is the people that he's going to send to these areas mm-hmm. are people just like what you talked about yes. right there. I feared being called to someplace I didn't want to go. So in my young and kind of not mature way of thinking, I thought I just need to stay away from that, because I'm afraid, as if I could stay out yeah. of God's yeah. will. Yeah. And well, you know, when you're called to do this, you're willing to take those kinds of risks.
The heart comes with the calling, doesn't it?
It does.
It starts stirring something within you with a desire, with a sense of adventure, with a being willing to pay the price, not always knowing what the price might be, right?
And the price could be great.
And the price could be great.
Yeah.
And it is sometimes for some.
Well, it was for that husband
yes.
who lost his wife.
Yes.
Exactly. And I mean, these are the things we read about, the Jim Elliots of the world. And yet I know, and I believe that Elizabeth Elliot would say the same thing, that they, if they were given the choice to do it all over again, mm-hmm. they would do it all over again.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that we're living, and one of the powerful things about what I believe going into another area where you're trusting the Lord for everything is the fact that it reminds us that we are just sojourners, that this world is not our own, and yet Americans can so easily start living like this world is almost heaven, and it's not.
No.
It's not. This world is, and we were not ever intended to stay here forever, but we are intended to be representatives and be witnesses for the Lord. That's something.
I agree. I really think that the body of Christ, individual members, individual believers, let's put it that way, that form the body of Christ, by being born again, by having the fullness of the Spirit abiding within, by having the resurrected life of Christ compelling us and driving us forward and giving us a sense of destiny and purpose, mm-hmm. that we're called to adventure.
Yeah.
You know, we're called to rough waters, not just the calm waters of the bay. We're called to experience the world and to take the gospel and to see what only God can do. I'll tell you, if Christianity is defined by what we can do, then I'm not terribly interested in that, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't have the same draw, does it?
No. And once you've been ruined, you've been ruined. That's what West Texas term, you know, R-U-I-N-T, you've been really ruined. And that means, you know, where God has just done what he can do.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when you see that, and you see how God does what he does, and somehow you're participating in that, in whatever small portion that might be, you know, how can you possibly go back to just the routine, just bulletins and, you know, the traditional orders of service? Somehow God wants to connect us in a viable, more fulfilling way to the world, mm-hmm. whether that be, you know, in the next county, whether it be in the next neighborhood, whether it be in your own neighborhood or outside of our country, you know, somehow that the world is craving, is yearning, hungering, mm-hmm. thirsting for the good news.
And, you know, as you said earlier, Bill, we are waiting for the day where travel will become easier, less restrictive because of this. Because there was a time, and I'm grateful that I was able to take several missions trips, a couple of them to the Bahamas, some of them, I've gone to Haiti, I've gone to Cuba, I've gone to places like that are really, truly, you would think, just destitute. And yet when you get to all of these places, even in Haiti, which is as third world country-ish as you're going to find in our hemisphere, when you get there, you're still going to find people who mm-hmm. are are just so much in love with Jesus, and they're grateful that we are there, immensely so. But again, they have something that every person that goes comes back with.
Yes.
And that life change really not only propels us to live, I think, our life better here in America, but it's going to be lived differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a big plus.
It's a huge plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And life enhancing for all of us. And, you know, when Jesus called us to go, and he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to be with you. And so his being with us is, I think, in my opinion, is sensed as more tangible. It's not that he's less with us when we're not going.
I don't want to suggest that point. Mark. Yeah.
But my awareness of his presence is heightened. You know, I've been a pastor 35 years before I went into the mission world. And I preached and taught on all different subject matters, a lot of which I had some experience in. I wasn't always just talking over my head, but some of it was, you know, teaching on principle and so forth and of God's kingdom. But, you know, all of a sudden you're in a place where prayer is demanded because there's no other answer. There's nothing that human effort can do to resolve a situation that one might find themselves
in. There's no check to strike. Nothing like that.
If God doesn't come through, we're sunk kind of thing. And so to see him, to see ourselves respond in that way in trust and faith and belief and sometimes white knuckling it along the way, but to see God come through in his way changes us.
Yeah,
and when he changes that way, we become transformational in the lives, transformative in the lives of many other people, because we're not attuned to just being religious. Now we're spiritual. Now we're connected. Yeah. Now we just have a better view of walking in dependence upon God and faith.
You know, what you just said, it really struck me in a way with a thought that I haven't had before. Not only does it change us when we go, not only does it change the people that we go to, because they're blessed. And, you know, I can think of times of what we've been able to bring, whether it was food in some areas or providing musical instruments in other areas. I was on a worship conference mission trip one time where we functionally smuggled a whole bunch of stuff into the country.
We call that creative distribution, by the way.
Yes, that's good. Yeah. I was afraid I was going to get arrested for smuggling, but I like that. I like that better.
Yeah.
But here's the third group. When we come back, all of the people that know us and love us are affected by what our experience was, and we don't even realize it. It has like a spillover effect on people. Mm-hmm. And this is the beautiful thing about it. And the more I talk with people, and on this program, I'm privileged to get to talk to a lot of different groups. I just love your group. I think the way God brought up Missionary Ventures in the Central Florida, and it has its origins right in the Orlando area. Mm-hmm. And the heart, and yet to see that in just 30 years, the way you guys have grown, it's exponential.
Yeah. Well, we give God all the glory for that. I think there's some cooperative element that we have, but in the end, it's him, isn't it? It's the way it is. And so he's given leadership, and we've chosen to follow.
Yeah.
And it's created an intense need to be flexible. I think any kind of church work, any kind of ministry, especially in missions, if you're not flexible, you're going to be locked in to a certain way of doing things, and it might be great up front, but maybe not later on, or it may not last. I don't know, but it seems like the Holy Spirit is constantly leading us to be flexible, to be sensitive, and to think, okay, I believe, Lord, you're leading this way, but maybe you have a different view on this. Maybe you're going a different direction. How should I be attuned to what you're saying and to what you're doing?
Yeah.
And so it creates a deeper sensitivity, I think, when you're in a ministry that is, whether church life or pastoring or whatever, where you're in a place where needs are past your ability, to solve or to resolve on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just in a place where God needs to come through.
Well, you guys have had to be flexible, and really all of us have, because when you first began this ministry, we didn't have the technology that we have today. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the way that you had to do business back then was completely different just 30 years ago. We're not talking about 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just 30 years ago, no cell phones, no computers, no laptops, no tablets. And yet I know a lot of missions work that is done today by a lot of groups is really centric around some of those very types of technologies. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to have you share a little bit about that with us in a moment when we come back. My guest today is Bill Snell. We'll be back with him for one more segment. Bill, before we take a break, give us the website for Missionary Ventures.
Yes, it's missionaryventures.org, www.mvi.org.
MVI.org. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Bill Snell was with me as my guest today. We'll be right back. Back for segment number three with Bill Snell. I've so enjoyed this. And the organization that he represents is Missionary Ventures out of Orlando. They serve 100 countries with missionaries and serving those missionaries and organizing groups that go out on missions trips, some of them short term, some of them a little bit longer term, but all of them are impacting, and they really are life-changing. And Bill, I know that one of the things that always happens with missionary groups like yours is that during times of disasters, when hurricanes hit, when storms come, like or earthquakes or whatever, it really brings about a need, an urgent need, and you've recently experienced mm-hmm. something.
Yes, and it's called a mosquito village. It's in that section of Nicaragua near a river called the Wawa River. And this particular town, we've had missionary activities in for a good while. A town is a little village, a little mm-hmm. ancient village, to be quite honest. And one hurricane hit, and then another one within weeks was coming on the heels of that. And so this village survived the first hurricane with tremendous damage. But the second one, little did they know how horrible this was going to be. But they just had a recent experience of the first one. So as the weather's coming and they're right there on the coast, all the women and children of the village were able to get inside the biggest building that they had, which was a church. It was about 200 women and children were able to get in, standing room only inside the church, but no men could get in. There wasn't enough room. So the men circled the building and linked arm to arm and pressed into the walls of the building and weathered the worst of the hurricane. As the storm just beat, and you know, well over 100 miles an hour winds, and these men pressing against the walls of the building, and when the eye of the storm had passed and it was beginning to settle down, they were able to release the linking of their arms, looking around, and total devastation everywhere, except the church survived.
Yeah,
and there wasn't a single person that was seriously injured, and you look at that and you go, "Good night, Lord." You know, these precious people, and it gives some idea of not so much the building as the safe haven of the body of Christ, the mm-hmm. church, right? I think a beautiful description of what it means to be linked arm to arm and to really press in and to trust and believe that, God, you're going to come through in a situation that I don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah.
And what we're able to do as a result, through our transportation program, we provided a very nice size outboard motor. There was a boat that didn't have a motor, and it was a large boat, and they were able to, we brought over 60,000 meals and all kinds of building materials, chainsaws and all kinds of things to help rebuild that community. And three new churches were a result of that activity. So, you know, the worst came, God came through and showed what only he was capable of doing, you know, the worst, and yet great came from that. Mm-hmm. And so no telling how many people have been saved and the churches that are flourishing as a result of their testimonies and what God did in their lives. But there's not a single one of them that doesn't glisten in their eyes when they're thinking about, hey, boy, do I know Jesus saves, but I know he really saves.
Yeah, he does.
Talks about that.
Tell us about your staff. What kind of like devotional meetings do you have to keep the staff informed and keeping them kind of envisioned with what you do?
We're doing better and better about staying in touch. We have our local staff here, which is the headquarters. We also have five international offices, one in South Africa and New Zealand, Australia, Costa Rica, and Great Britain. And so we're the hub here in Orlando. And so once a month, we're in touch with all of our international offices. And we We're just checking the gauge of what's going on in the world from everybody's viewpoint. And we bring that to the attention of the missionaries and to our staffs. And we try to stay in touch that way. But our office here, every week we pray together, and we're alerted to all different kinds of needs out in the mission field. And, you know, it's a tough life right now. And so there's a lot of things to be concerned about, a lot of things to pray for, a lot of needs that we believe God for that he'll supply, and he does, and both financially and relationally and spiritually and health-wise and all of those kind of things. We've had some losses through COVID. In fact, in Peru, we've had a very significant ministry going on in Peru for a long time. And I believe the last estimate was we've lost over 100 pastors
to COVID. Yeah.
That just didn't have access to the health care that we do. And so my wife and I even had COVID back a year ago. Well, it was last October.
Mm-hmm. We had it in December.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it wasn't, and my wife, it wasn't anything more than a mild flu. But it's not that for everybody. It's much worse than that. Mm-hmm. I get that. But anyway, it's been a hindrance, and we've lost people. I just buried a missionary wife, one of our missionaries' wives, just passed of COVID. And so it hits very close to home. So there's some grieving that's going on, as well as the fatigue that all of this stress and strain has provided. But boy, it's amazing, Mike, that the sweetness and the beauty of what God is doing, you know, helps transfer our attention from sorrow to joy.
Yeah. Are you seeing any uptick in, let's say, local churches now that things are starting to loosen up a little bit around here about interest in future trips?
Yes. We have about six or seven teams that are logged in right now that have actual dates. Sometimes they have to be flexed. You know, things can change and might have to boot the date another week away or something, depending upon various factors. Mm-hmm. But six or seven teams are on the dockets right now. We just had one return from Colombia, and it was fantastic, life-changing. It's reported to me. I wasn't on the trip, but life-changing for everybody involved. It was an amazing experience. And the next one's going to be in Greece, and then we have some other Latin American conferences, missionary trips. So it's happening. It's beginning to happen. It's slow. It's more of a trickle effect than a, you know, open up a fire hydrant type of thing. But it is coming back.
Now, in Florida, it's easy to take some of the trips to some of the neighboring islands, and even Central America is not terribly far. Mm-hmm. When you talk about a trip to Greece, what is involved in a missions trip? What kind of activities would someone go if they went there?
Yes. Well, this one will be a little bit longer. Sometimes a typical mission trip might be 5 days to 7 days if you're going to Latin America, which is closer by, or the islands, Bahama Islands. Greece will be a little bit longer because it's a little bit more time frame it takes getting there and coming back. So it's more like 8 to 10 days on average. Where we take them is where our missionaries function in Thessaloniki, Greece. And there's where these people come from, Pakistan, Syria, war-torn countries, trying to find asylum in the European Union, and they come to Greece. Many of them do. So there's huge container cities there, and so our missionaries have a great opportunity to minister to the world right there in Thessaloniki, Greece. Mm. And so a mission team, this particular one, will go, and we'll also be granting and gifting motorcycle transportation to some of these refugees that we've been working with for years now, who are themselves becoming missionaries of their own right and helping them get around and sharing the gospel and planting churches. So they'll experience that. They'll actually go into some home churches where this is happening and experience that and share and lead as God gives them ability. There'll be baptisms in the Aegean Sea as people are getting saved, because again, people getting saved every week. It's just so much fun to see.
And I think it's important to say that, again, your model is to go and work with the indigenous, those that live in the area.
Yes.
And work with them, as opposed to just going and doing all the work oneself. You're going to equip. I think of Ephesians 4, where, you know, that's one of the things that the church is to do, the elders are to do, is to equip the saints for works of service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're doing. Your missionary organization is equipping people. And so you've got these opportunities right there in Bible lands, I mean, Thessalonians, right there in that area. And these people have accepted Jesus, mm-hmm. and they're following the Lord,
yes.
and you guys are equipping them and then going to encourage them, to train them.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
my goodness.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's an awful lot of fun. There's some work involved on a trip like that, because you might start early in the morning and get back in the evening, because there's just so much to see, so many people to pray for, so much to experience in terms of ministry. But there's also some sightseeing opportunities. You go to Philippi and see the jail that Paul was in,
mm-hmm.
and the possibility of taking the fast train down to Athens and seeing the Colosseum and things like that. So there are opportunities to see that and experience the culture of Greece. But the vast majority of it's going to be very ministry centered, and it's just a win-win situation for anybody who wants to go.
Well, I tell you, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like an amazing thing. And either way, whether it's close or whether it's far away, the heart changes that it brings people mm-hmm. when they're doing it is life lasting, and really friendships that I think team members that
yes.
they develop during these things, those too are life lasting
yes.
And really marvelous. And there's, I can think back to some of the most precious times in my life, Bill, were spent on these missions trips, and that I just treasure mm-hmm. them. You know, you're involved in some of them yourself, right?
Yes.
What's the next one that you think might be down the pike for you?
The next one for me will be in February. I might take up something before then, but the one that's scheduled in the books for me is in February. We'll be going to the mountains in Guatemala, called Nebaj, N-E-B-A-J, Nebaj. And we have a full-blown hospital there, Guatemalan missionary that got saved under missionary ventures and trained and is now a missionary to his own people. There, his full-blown hospital. We'll be doing a ministry there. And it really won't be a medical-related team. We'll be evangelism ministry team.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many opportunities in and around the hospital grounds to be sharing Christ and to go in the local churches and to do some outreaches in the community. All of that will be happening, and that will be an exciting event.
Oh, yeah. And that's Guatemala. Guatemala is such a gorgeous area. And again, not that far away from home in terms of a flight if you're from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. And there's people that we know there that have just so appreciated the ministry of Missionary Ventures and what you guys do on an ongoing way. And I know my friend Betty Sue Caners is still with you
mm-hmm.
Over there.
Yep.
She was the first person I had on the radio here when we started doing this show from MVI. And getting to see you from time to time is always a joy, Bill. Tell us how people can give, because I know that it takes money to do what you're doing. It takes support.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, that's the only way we operate is through people seeing and envisioning and believing in what we do as a mission organization. We have very low cost to budget. We're in about a little less than 10% to administrative costs to the actual work of ministry. But they can anybody who feels a passion to be more connected, whether they want to go on a trip, or they want to give, or they want to just connect with us, you can go on the website and the giving opportunities are right there. So it's mvi.org, www.mvi.org.
And I love this organization, highly recommend it, and say hello to everybody back for us, if you will, when you're there. And Bill, thanks for spending this time with us today and envisioning. And I'm really interested to see how this caravan of camels go. That's
yeah, me too.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. And would love to see some pictures of that one. My goodness. Bill Snell, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. Friends, thanks for being here as well. And we'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike. Brought to you by U.S. Christian Chamber, National Conference, and Expo.